Lecture topic, the goals of life.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'audhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa man arada al-akhirata wa sa'a laha sa'yaha wa huwa mu'minun fa ulaika kana sa'yuhum mashkura. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من اتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله او كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
اور سسپیکٹڈ علماء کرام برادرز اینڈ ایلڈرز with the heart and mind ones, a person thinks about, then he acts upon it, and there are things that he just bypasses in life, and sometimes a person gets into that phase where he just lives on dreams, just dreams about a lot of things, dreams about dunya. And then he starts dreaming about everything will just come right in Akhirat also. A disease which the Yahud and Nasara had been afflicted with. Nata illa man kana Hudan aw Nasara. They sat back, they were very content, they felt very, very fine about themselves. They said, no, Jannat is exclusive for the Yahud and Nasara. So we got nothing to do. We have no reason to worry about anything. Everything will be fine for us, because Jannat is already exclusive for us. So Allah Ta'ala refuted this, that tilka amaniyuhum, this is just their hopes, just living on hopes without any basis. Tilka amaniyuhum. Qul hatu burhanakum in kuntum sadiqeen. That if you are genuine about this, then bring your evidence. There's no evidence for any such thing. The reality is that Allah Ta'ala has made Jannat exclusive for those who will obey Allah Ta'ala. And after the coming of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the obedience of Allah Ta'ala requires that a person submits to, accepts and follows Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And follows his path, follows his shariat, obeys Allah Ta'ala in the manner that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught. So it's not just going to be thoughts and desires and just hopes that's going to take a person somewhere. When it comes to dunya, then generally, there are those who will just sit and dream about dunya also, dunya which they can't even imagine ever getting, but they'll dream about it. But generally, when a person has some hopes for some dunya, then he starts figuring out how to try and put some action in place, how to get something going, what should be done in order to try and achieve something. If he just keeps sitting and dreaming only, then anybody will call him a very foolish person. If he makes it known to anybody around him that I have all these dreams, so what are you doing about it? He says, no, I'm just dreaming only. I have all these high hopes. What are you doing about it? I just keep hoping. Say, well, you can carry on hoping. That's extremely foolish. Everybody understands that he has to make an effort, and people make an effort, and sometimes they make such an effort that that effort overtakes everything else. It puts behind their deen, puts their family life aside, puts everything on the side. That becomes their goal in life. The very effort itself becomes the goal and just goes on endlessly, endlessly until Malakul Maut comes. So any case, in terms of dunya, small little things of dunya also, we understand that dunya doesn't come by just dreaming about it. Dunya doesn't come by just merely wishing. There's an effort. Allah has made the system such. So when dunya and the paltry things of dunya and the small little gains of dunya can't come without an effort, so now something as great as Jannat, which is everlasting, which has no iota of any difficulty in it, no hardship in it, no pain, no suffering, perpetual enjoyment and bliss, and above all the ni'mats and bounties of Jannat, that in Jannat the person will be blessed with seeing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that will come just without any effort. Of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rabi'a bin Ka'b Aslami radiallahu ta'ala an. He was among the Ashabu Suffa. The Ashabu Suffa were those Sahaba who were just dedicated. They were there all the time. They would in the day sometimes just gather some wood and sell it just to make ends meet. And the rest of the time they were engaged in learning deen, in learning from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in teaching. They had no other occupation. So he was one of them. And together with that, he had the great honor of being in the service and the khidmat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would bring the water of wudu and other khidmat he would fulfill. So this was an extremely great honor that he was blessed with. So one day, when he fulfilled some khidmat, so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "Sal, ask." Subhanallah. But now this was a special moment. Now he was at it all the time. And now this special moment came. So now he's being told, one is that from my side I can give you something. But the choice is now yours, you ask. And now he's one of the Ashabu Suffa, so a very poor person, didn't have any material possessions, and living life in a very, very simple, very basic manner. And the Ashabu Suffa would sometimes, if there was nothing to eat, there was nothing available. And something was available, then they had it. Days would go sometimes in that manner as well. So now a person who's living life in that way, which is so very, very meager provisions that he has, and he has no real things of dunya as such, so life is not so easy as we understand it. So now when such a person is told, ask, what do we expect him to ask? That, well, some ease comes in dunya. Maybe I have some better place to stay. Maybe I can have a proper meal every day at least. And some benefit of dunya maybe. So he was given the choice, ask, sal. So what did he ask? He said, "Ya Rasulullah, uhibbu murafaqataka fil jannah." In Jannah. Subhanallah. He didn't just ask for Jannat. He's asking for the highest point in Jannat. Because he wants to be in the company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All these things of dunya, whatever difficulty I'm undergoing, sometimes I have something to eat, sometimes it's poverty and starvation. I don't have a proper place to stay. I don't have any material possessions. All these things I can do without. I want your company in Jannat. All these things are insignificant if I get this. Now he had a goal. In the morning, if you wake up, what is our goal? Sometimes the goal is, well, I need to get this deal done. That's the goal for the day. What's the goal? The goal is, I need to get this leisure and pleasure sorted out. That's the goal for the day. Meaning some whatever leisure and pleasure trip has to be now worked on. So all that details have to be sorted out. That's the goal. And then today, next day, what is the goal? The goal is again some other dunya. And deen just fits in, by the way, somewhere here and there. Or as a routine also. But the goals are always generally dunya. Occasion when somebody is just on the spot. On the spot, that comes out what is in the heart. When a person is on the spot, that comes out what is in the heart. The good also, and the bad as well. If there's vulgarity in the heart, then when the person on the spot, that vulgarity will come on the tongue. Then you start blurting vulgarity, like just part of language. But actually, the tongue is the spoon of the heart. It's dishing out what's inside. But now there's no chance now, because it just happened suddenly out of the blue. No chance to decide now, okay, I'll dish out from the corner somewhere. some of the good things on the corner, leave the rotten things inside in the middle. It just comes out what's in there. So this too, when the good is in the heart, then on the spot, that is what comes. So this is, now despite his difficult lifestyle, as we will call it, the day-to-day living being so difficult, but there was a goal in his heart. And now on the spot, when he was asked, that came through. What is the goal? Ya Rasulullah, uhibbu murafaqataka fil jannah. I love to have your companionship in Jannat. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, awa ghayra dhalik? Anything else? Something apart from that? He said, huwa dhaak. That's it. If he asked something alongside, okay, some few others, he said, this is it. I want this. This is my aspiration. This is my goal. Everything else, yes, the Ashab al-Sufa also, they when they gathered some firewood, they sold it, they earned a few, as we'll say, coppers out of it, and they made ends meet with it. So they made whatever the necessity of dunya was, they took care of it. But the goal and aspiration was akhirat. And the goal and aspiration was to get close to Allah Ta'ala, and to get close to the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That is what was his aspiration. So now when the moment came, and he's being told, now this is it, this is the time to ask. This is a special moment. He said, huwa zaak, that's it, I want that. So now subhanallah, this was such a special moment of acceptance. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he offered it to him, ask. But now he asked for something which was not going to be acquired merely by wishing for it. It was not going to be acquired merely by just having high hopes about it. Yes, this aspiration was excellent. And this was, but now these were the Sahaba-e-Kiram. But the lesson was being given for the Ummah. That look, such a great aspiration. What a wonderful desire. What wonderful hope. But it's not going to happen by just hopes. It's not going to happen by just desiring. There is something beyond that. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said to him, if that is it, that fa'inni ala nafsika bi kathrati sujood. Fa'inni ala nafsika bi kathrati sujood. Then you help me. Help me to get you there. How? You engage in excessive sujood. Now, excessive sujood, so you're going to make excessive salah. So the excessive salah, the sahaba, there was no question about missing out the 5 daily salah. Meaning over and above that, you engage yourself in a lot of ibadat. Because you want to gain this very high position in Jannat. So now this very high position in Jannat won't come by just merely wishing for it. You will have to make an effort for it. That effort, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, the dua will be there, you make the effort, help me. And this dua will get in your favor. How you help me? You make amal. Throughout the Quran Sharif, repeatedly, the issue of amal. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ يَعْمَلُونَ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Repeatedly, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Those who have iman and do righteous actions. Amal. Amal. Now that is the issue, that one is, mashallah, having the right intention, having a good intention, having a goal. So now what is my goal? That is what we have to think. When you wake up in the morning, what is my goal? When we go to bed, what was my goal and what is my goal going forward? Put our minds to it or not. And whether we've really formulated the goal consciously in our hearts and minds. We take it for granted we have a goal. But again, this example is a very futile example and not something that should even be brought in as example in the house of Allah Ta'ala. But just for the sake of people understanding it easily, that now the person is running on that football field, but he doesn't know where's the goal. So he's running in all different directions. So sometimes he's in this direction and sometimes that direction. They say, now give him, they don't know what color card they'll give him. They say, send him in all the cards, send him off. He doesn't know where he's heading to. So all these futile things, But the point is that in these futile things also we understand there's a goal. So now when a person truly has a goal, he knows his direction. He knows which direction to head. He's not going left and right. So the point is that we take it for granted, I have a goal in life. What is my goal? So whether we've really given it thought or not, what our goal is meant to be. And every morning we are supposed to be refreshing this in our hearts and minds. My goal for today, for tomorrow, for whatever life is left, and till the last breath, is that I must live entirely in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. And whatever I do must be done for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And it must be done to acquire the love of Allah Ta'ala. Anything and everything. This must be my goal, my direction. If it's my profession, it's my job, it's my business, it's my work, whatever it might be, that too included. That too must be guided by the same goal. And if it's not guided by this goal, then in the masjid, mashallah, with great khushu and khudu, Allahu Akbar, and completely devoted to Allah Ta'ala, and then outside the masjid, devoted to shaitan. That my eyes must also be in Allah's obedience. From outside the masjid, just walked out, and now the eyes are floating around all over the place. Why? Because that goal is not there. That goal, it's just part of life now that I have to perform my salah. But the goal, that my goal is that my life in its entirety, my eyes, my ears, my tongue, my hands, my feet, my heart, everything must be in Allah Ta'ala's obedience. Everything must function in one direction to earn Allah's pleasure and to gain Allah's love. That is the goal. So now I have to make an effort in that direction. And Allah Ta'ala has made that the process. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. The one who desires to achieve akhirat, meaning that great jannat, like the sahabi asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want this great honor of being in your company in jannat. So now the one who wants akhirat, meaning jannat in akhirat, you want to get and reach Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has linked this up with وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Two things. With the condition of iman, he makes the effort that is required for it. If Allah Ta'ala just said, وَسَعَى لَهَا, and he makes an effort, a person will be content, I made my effort. What effort he made? He performed three salah in the day. I made some effort, three salah in the day. The person performing three salah, not five, is termed a fasiq. He's not a namazi, he's not a musalli. He's termed a fasiq. He's committing a major sin. Now the person is performing his five salah, but haphazardly, anyhow. He said, I made my effort. وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. He made the effort that is required. What is the required effort? The first part of the required effort, in terms of amal, is that he never ever compromises any of the faraiz. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has ordained on him, Allah has made compulsory, and the top of the list is the five daily salah. Never ever compromises that. Now, if the person has a goal, then that goal is now this business must thrive. That's the goal. This business must move. It must now turn a profit. It must thrive. It must prosper. So now he's working it. So any loss affects him. He might give 10 times the amount in charity. He might give 10 times the amount to somebody as a gift. He'll spend in whatever else. But if there's any loss, something that happened now, whatever incurred some loss, the slightest loss also will affect him. And if the bigger loss, will affect him more. So now if he missed his salah with jama'ah, it won't be just brushed aside, because that's a big loss. Very big loss. And it became qaza, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That is an unimaginable loss. In the hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the one misses one salah in its time, so he might make up for it later. the loss is like he lost his entire family and all his possessions all at one go. What a loss. So now does it affect us, a person? That will depend whether that's his goal. Where's his goal? What is his aspiration? If his goal is there, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ, then now that loss will affect him. He's insan, sometimes can happen, something may go haywire a little bit. But then he won't be at ease. He won't be just brush it aside. Life is carrying on. I don't need to bother about much. He will be restless. I need to do something about this. One day, 2 days, weeks are going past, and this is my situation every now and again. I'm missing my salah with jama'ah. My salah is becoming qaza sometimes. This is a very major problem. When there's this problem in that business, he's running to the accountant, he's running to some friend who has business experience and somebody else who can advise him that something is not working out here, there's some pilferage taking place, whatever else, some loss is happening. He wants to make sure that that gets sorted out. The losses in deen, not making us restless. Why? Because our goal is not there yet, how it should be. Is it like part of the routine? Life will carry on. To make that goal, that my goal must be that I want to do everything that will please my Allah. That must be my goal. وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. First is top of the list, all the farais. Never compromises any of the farais. And then he's all the time trying to do it better. His salah, trying to improve it. His fast, he's trying to improve it, do it better. Not just now carrying on, fast is carrying on, ghibat is carrying on, his eyes are still floating around. No, he wants to make it truly a fast. And likewise all the other amal. And then side by side, together with fulfilling all the farais, staying away from all the haram, that is at the top of the list in terms of the required effort. وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. He's making the required effort. Together with fulfilling all the farais, he's staying away from all what Allah has made haram. On the wrath of Allah, when a person just blatantly continues involving himself in disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, that is what then brings unrest. The fear of unrest. Behind unrest is that we haven't been in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. That unrest starts off in the heart first. When a person has turned away from Allah Ta'ala, then the first place that the unrest starts is from within. His heart will not be in rest. It will not happen. Outwardly it might seem whatever it seems like, but the heart will be restless. And then sometimes in the unrest pulls over within the four walls of the home. But now, trying to figure out, but what's going on here and why is this all the time the problem? But this unrest is because we haven't rested ourselves in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so many different ahadith in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, that whatever happens, this is the doings of your own deeds, this is the result of your own deeds, your doings. Various sins have been mentioned in the ahadith which bring down calamities. In one riwayat, it is mentioned that when zina and riba become widespread, when people of a community they indulge in zina and riba, then فَقَدْ أَحَلُّوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ, then they have drawn down the azab of Allah upon them. Now, riba, all kinds of haram transactions also in one level fall under the category of riba. But then the direct and explicit riba, taking of interest under any name, call it anything, call it profit, call it, well, not 10% profit, whatever. But if it is, the reality of it is interest, it is riba, it is haram. It is the one aspect in the Quran Sharif which Allah has announced waging war against. There's no other aspect in the Quran Sharif against which Allah has announced war. فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. That if you don't forsake this riba, then take note of war with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now when a person is waging war with Allah Ta'ala, can he ever win? Taking, giving interest is equally haram. Thing, I'm not taking anything, so it's fine. Whereas that is equally haram. وَقَالَهُمْ سَوَىٰ Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah's curse upon the one who takes it, who gives it, who's a witness to the transaction, who's a scribe to it. وَقَالَهُمْ سَوَىٰ And all are equal in the sin of it. Riba and zina. These are unfortunately scourges in the society. It's also zina of the eyes. And then it's leading to the worst levels as well. So now this, we are looking for solutions, but the solutions are right there, spelt out for us, that come back to Allah Ta'ala. Make tawbah from all this. Make akhirat the aspiration and the goal. And make the required effort for it. The required effort, fulfill all the obligations of deen. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has commanded, those who understood their goal, Allah Ta'ala speaks about them in the Quran Sharif, the Sahaba. What was their way, how they went about it? One ayat alone, Allah Ta'ala says, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ That now because they had their goal, they wanted to get there, they wanted to get that higher stages of Jannah. So تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ Their sides remain separated from their beds. Doing what? Sitting and pressing buttons? No, in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. That they would have their time to rest as well. But a portion of the night stayed away from their beds in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Why? يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا Calling unto their Rabb in hope and in fear. They are not complacent and they are not despondent either. They have hope as well, but they are also fearful. And they spend from what Allah has given them in the path of Allah Ta'ala, in the cause of deen, in helping the poor and needy. Allah describes this. Why? Because they got a goal. They know where they're heading. They know what they're trying to achieve. So, man arad al-akhirah wa sa'a laha sa'yaha wa huwa mu'min fa ulaika kana sa'yuhum mashkura. One is the effort in this aspect. But it is not confined to that. The person who's got that goal, he'll make an effort to make sure his mu'amalat, his dealings are all in order. All in accordance to what Shariat has prescribed. He's not cutting corners. Not involving himself in any haram transactions. Not getting into any deception, any fraud. He is being straight about his dealings. Because otherwise, that too will take him to some other destination. What his goal is will get lost. He'll not just be confined to that. He will make an effort on his mu'asharat, on his social interactions, how he lives with people, that he does not commit any zulm on anybody, does not infringe on anybody's rights, does not cause harm and takleef to anyone, undue difficulty and hardship to anyone. He's very careful about that. That will be also part of that required effort. وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا And in this comes also, he will make an effort on his akhlaq. He will keep making an effort to improve his character, improve his akhlaq. Otherwise, the deficiency in akhlaq will cause him to lose all the ibadat and everything. So now, وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا He understands now, what is his requirement? What is he required to do in terms of deen? Obligations of Allah Ta'ala, his salah is being performed. What is the requirement of deen in terms of, for example, the respect for parents? How must he respect his parents? Allah says, don't even say uff to them. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا uff. Don't even cause even that little bit of expression of irritation to them that causes some hurt. Don't even do that. Now he's got a goal. He wants to get to Jannat. He'll be conscious about this as well. He'll be conscious about all. He'll try to look for everything to do correctly. That will drive him to learn deen. Make sure what he's doing is right. Allah Ta'ala says, when the person will live his life in this manner, فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا Such people, Allah says, their efforts will be greatly appreciated. Allah Ta'ala doesn't allow the rewards of those who do good to go in vain. Allah will reward them abundantly. مَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا Another ayat Allah says, the one who has this hope, he wants to meet Allah Ta'ala. meaning he wants to get to Jannat. فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Then he must do righteous actions. Righteous actions is a complete comprehensive package. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Not commit any shirk. Tawheed and righteous actions. Iman must be right and a'mal must be correct. So when he does this, Allah will make his dunya for him also and make his akhirat for him as well. The issue is getting Allah Ta'ala on our side. One pious person was one day walking somewhere, and dunya is dunya, all kinds of things happen in dunya. So he was walking now, had rained, so there were some puddles all over the place. So as he was walking, he by chance didn't realize that there was a puddle somewhere or whatever, he stepped into it. So when he stepped into it, some of that water splashed. So now when it splashed, some of it splashed. Now one couple was standing on the side. Now this couple that was standing there, so this some of this water splashed onto the clothing of that woman. So now when that water splashed, so that person got very upset, whose wife it was. Now her clothing got soiled. So he came and he slapped this person. Now this was a total mistake. He wasn't deliberately neglectful or anything. Completely mistake. Now this person came and he slapped him hard. But in any case, his attention was towards Allah Ta'ala. Allah, this is from your side, whatever happened, happened now. And he then just carried on walking. As he walked further down, little distance away, one person was now making some, on the roadside, some kheer, whatever, to sell. So as he saw him coming, he said, please come. I had already intended this morning as one good act that I want to do, that today before I start any business, the first person I see, I'm going to give him a full bowl free. You're the first person I saw. In any case, he sat down, person now out of his good heartedness, he offered it to him, so he sat down to eat it. Now he's thinking also, he's talking to Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, your secrets are beyond my comprehension. Sometimes you get a person to collect a slap as well, then you get him to be fed with this free kheer as well. In any case, he had this kheer and he went away home. As he went home, a short while later, suddenly there's the police are at his house and they've come to arrest him. Say, arrest me for what? So they say, well, you killed so-and-so. I killed somebody? Who did I kill? So now, this woman who was standing on that roadside as well, whose clothing got soiled, she was now alongside with the police. Say, yes, this is the person. So she says, you killed her husband. I killed your husband? What do you mean I killed your husband? He says, well, that incident that happened, when you passed by and then you splashed that water, my husband came and gave you a tight slap. So you must have cursed him. You must have made some baddua for him. Because after that, we then left and came home. As we came home, as he was climbing up the steps, he just slipped and fell backwards, fell and broke his neck and he passed away. So you are the murderer because you would have cursed him. Now obviously, where does this link up with now? Probably the police also didn't know what she meant initially when she said, this is the person killed my husband. Now she meant it in a different way. So they came to now arrest him. Now they too might have been puzzled by this whole scene. But in any case, when she said this, so he said, okay, now understand. He said, now understand. You see, this is the full story. Now the full story is this, that just as you had an ashik, the husband was ashik, he was somebody who loved you very dearly. So now, when I made that mistake and I splashed the water and your clothing got soiled, so your ashik couldn't tolerate it. And he couldn't tolerate it, he came and gave me a slap. But now when he gave me a slap, I also had my ashik. Tolerate that as well. So now he took revenge on my part, what can I do about that? So when your ashik, he took revenge on your behalf, so my ashik took revenge on my behalf. Now this didn't become an ashik just like that. In the hadith sharif where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah Ta'ala says, hadith qudsi. وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أَحْبَبْتُهُ. That my servant fulfills all the fara'is Farais includes doing what he's supposed to do, staying away from all the haram. That is the effort, required effort. And then on top of that, he keeps devoting himself to me in nawafil, abundant amal, ibadat, staying away from all the sins and vices, serving deen, serving the mission of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, exerting himself for the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he continues in this to the point that I love him. This is what he's talking about, my ashiq. Allah ta'ala became his ashiq. Allah ta'ala loved him. So now when somebody interfered with the beloved of Allah ta'ala, Allah took revenge. Our question for ourselves is, are we the beloved of Allah ta'ala? Are we even lovers of Allah ta'ala? What do we love? What are our aspirations? Where's our goal? What effort we make for? In the morning we wake up, what is our goal? So to make this our goal now, that my goal is, I want to live my life in Allah's obedience. Remind ourselves, every morning refresh it. I want to spend the entire day in a way that Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with me. My capital of time that Allah has given me, every moment is a part of me. Every moment that goes is a part of me gone. There's one couplet of Imam Shafi rahimahullah, which gives this message, that you are nothing but time. And every moment that goes, part of you has gone. That's what we are. We are a combination of moments. Because that thing is ticking and it's fixed. There's no extension in it. And when that last moment will tick, we're gone. So we are a combination of moments. And when that last moment is gone, there's no extension. So now each moment that goes, a part of us has gone. And therefore the same message in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut. Intelligent person who he guards himself away from whatever Allah is displeased with. He protects himself, saves himself from that. وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. Again, the same aspect, same message. Amil. He makes an effort. He's not just dreaming. He makes an effort for that which will benefit him after death. And on the other side, وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا. The fool is a person who follows his desires. Whatever he desires, he wants to do. He desires to spend half the night pressing buttons, he'll carry on. Watch anything, carrying on. No time for tilawat, but ample time for social media, it's fine. Dhikr for the whole day, nothing. But how much time went on the screen? Running in the hours. That is not wasa'a laha sa'yaha. That is not making the required effort to get to Allah Ta'ala. When the Sahaba had that goal, then we can look in their lives, open the Fazail Amal, open the stories of Sahaba, open other books on the lives of the Sahaba Ikram, on all the lives of the pious predecessors. What became their life? How they led their lives? What was their goal? How did they conduct their days, their nights? What kind of sacrifices they made? That is the inspiration that we'll get from there. You should be reading these biographies of the Sahaba Ikram, of the pious predecessors. And get an idea of what it means to have the goal as akhirat. What kind of effort then should be made? And how should one's life then be? Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Allah ta'ala make our goal the akhirat. Make our goal to reach Allah ta'ala and gain Jannatul Firdaus. Allah give us the tawfiq of making the required effort. And Allah accept it out of His grace and mercy. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
إن الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله La ilaha illallah. 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. Allahu jalla jalaluhu amma nawaluhu. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kaseeran kaseera. ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. إله العالمين يا الله most merciful most gracious most kind most loving Allah. يا الله forgive us يا الله. يا الله forgive us يا الله. يا الله forgive all our major and minor sins يا الله. Allah forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, make us your obedient servants, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make us those who make akhirat the goal, ya Allah. Allah, make us those with perfect iman, ya Allah, who make the required effort for akhirat, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, we are very weak, ya Allah. Allah, our efforts are very weak, ya Allah. Broken efforts, ya Allah. Allah, nothing is worthy of presenting to you, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, out of your grace and mercy, accept the broken efforts, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make us among your obedient servants, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make us among your muqarrabeen, ya Allah. Make us among the muhsineen, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make us among those who are your true lovers, ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us your mahabbat, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your mahabbat, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your mahabbat, ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove all the worldly aspirations from our hearts, ya Allah. Ya Allah, make akhirat our goal, ya Allah. Make akhirat our aspiration, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, accept us for the khidmat of your deen, ya Allah. With ikhlas, with afiyat, with qabooliyat, ya Allah. Accept our progenies till qiyamati, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Ya Allah, enable us, ya Allah, to do all that which pleases you, ya Allah. Ya Allah, enable our eyes to see only that which you are pleased with, ya Allah. Our ears to listen to only what you are pleased with, ya Allah. Our tongues to only speak that which you are pleased with, ya Allah. Ya Allah, our hearts to be occupied in that which will please you, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, remove all the dirt and filth from our hearts, ya Allah. Remove the pride, the arrogance, the malice, ya Allah. Remove the jealousy, ya Allah. Remove the love of dunya, ya Allah. Remove the love of the ego, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, remove all the evils that lurk in our hearts, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Allah, fill our hearts with taqwa, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with taqwa, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with inabat and ruju, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with khashiyat, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with tawazu and humility, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with all the beautiful and noble qualities, ya Allah. Cleanse our hearts out of all the evils, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. And all those who are sick, give them shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustamirra, da'ima. Remove every trace of their ailments, ya Allah. Those in any kind of difficulties and hardships, remove it with afiyat, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, every Muslim throughout the earth, ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant each one afiyat in deen, ya Allah. Grant afiyat in deen, ya Allah. Afiyat in dunya, ya Allah. Ya Allah, don't put us to trials and tests, ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from trials and tests, ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are indeed very weak, ya Allah. Ya Allah, we acknowledge we are very sinful, ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have done everything to draw down azab, ya Allah. Ya Allah, but you are most kareem, ya Allah. You are most forgiving, ya Allah. Forgive us, ya Allah. Forgive us, ya Allah. Save us from all the adab, ya Allah.
Save us from the difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Save us from the calamities, Ya Allah. Allah, make us among those servants of yours, Ya Allah, who do that which please you, Ya Allah. Allah, enable the entire ummah to do that which pleases you, Ya Allah. Allah, make it a means of bringing down rahmat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us and the entire ummah from such actions that bring down azab, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from the fitna of the phone, Ya Allah, and the fitna of all the devices, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, this trap of shaitan, Ya Allah. Allah, this quicksand that is drawing people in, Ya Allah, and swallowing them up, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, their deen is getting destroyed, Ya Allah. The dunya is getting destroyed, Ya Allah. Everything is becoming destroyed, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, open our eyes out to the reality, Ya Allah. Open our eyes out to the realities, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from the fitna of all these devices, Ya Allah. The fitna of the internet, Ya Allah. The fitna of all the apps, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us tawfiq, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that we refrain from all the things that displease you, Ya Allah. From all the fitnas, Ya Allah. You protect us, Ya Allah. Protect our progenies till Qiyamah, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us a tawfiq, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that we be forever in your obedience, Ya Allah. Take us in Kamil Iman, Ya Allah. Take us at the time that we are in your obedience, Ya Allah. Take us at the time that you are pleased with us, Ya Allah. We are pleased with you, Ya Allah. Make our qabr's gardens of Jannah for us, Ya Allah. Grant us the shafaat of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, grant us Jannatul Firdaus without any reckoning, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. And all those who asked us to make dua for them, all who have raised their hands to this dua, Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us, Ya Allah, our greatest need, Ya Allah. Our greatest need is to become yours, Ya Allah. Make us yours, Ya Allah. Make us yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this is on our tongues, Ya Allah, that it is our greatest need, Ya Allah. Our hearts are still empty of this, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with this realization, Ya Allah, that this is our greatest need, Ya Allah. Our greatest need is to become yours, Ya Allah, and that you become ours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make this aspiration of our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us make an effort for this, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you accept our broken efforts, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all the great bounties that you shower on the hearts of your muqarrabeen, Ya Allah, of the awliya'i siddiqeen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us as well, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, throughout the world, Ya Allah, wherever the Muslims are in any suffering, pain, hardship, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, remove it, Ya Allah. Remove their difficulties, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat to one and all, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, those who are being oppressed, Ya Allah. Allah, remove the oppression from them, Ya Allah. Grant hidayat to the oppressors, Ya Allah. Allah, hold back the hands of the oppressors, Ya Allah. Grant them hidayat, Ya Allah. If hidayat is not decreed for them, Ilahul Alameen, wipe them out from the face of this earth, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us all afiyat, Ya Allah. Afiyat in every butter, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. And all that we have asked for, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, grant it to us, Ya Allah. What we should have been asking for, Ya Allah, grant us that as well, Ya Allah. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب